Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. We turn our attention this morning to the words of Psalm 19, some of which you sang just moments ago. As you and I think about how our Lord and our God takes His word seriously, we wish to focus our attention on these words from Psalm 19. These are verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. It gives wisdom to the inexperienced. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. The commandment of the Lord is bright. It gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure. It stands forever. The just decrees of the Lord are truth. They are altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, even better than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the honeycomb. Yes, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can recognize his own errors? Declare me innocent of hidden sins. Restrain your servant also from deliberate sins. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be blameless. Then I will be innocent of great rebellion. May the speech from my mouth and the thoughts in my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of our Lord. As we begin to think about how God describes His word and how He wants us to take that word seriously, you and I begin to see that there really isn't anything else that we want. What do you want more than anything else in the world? Maybe that changes depending upon your age and your circumstance. What do you want more than anything else? Well, maybe what you want more than anything else is the same kind of backpack that your friend has at school. It's such a neat-looking backpack. It's got neat pictures on it. It's got cool things hanging off of it. It's got all kinds of neat little pockets that you can put all of your stuff in and hide all your goodies in. All I want is to have that kind of a backpack. As you get a little bit older, perhaps what you want more than anything else is to be the next NBA star. I like playing basketball. I think I'm pretty good at it. I'm working. I've gotten up to that 2-inch vertical jump now. And if I keep practicing, maybe I can get a little bit better. All I want in the world is to grow in my skills and to grow in my talents and to really, really get good at this game. That's what I want more than anything else. As you get perhaps a little bit older, then maybe what you want more than anything else is that college. Because that's the one with the scholarship, or that's the one with the major. That's the one that allows you to do what you want to do with the rest of your life, and that's the one you want to be accepted to be my wife, for him to be my husband. And I want nothing more than to be able to rejoice in that amazing gift of marriage that our Lord and our God gives to us. And I suppose as life continues on, there's other things. Maybe there's nothing that you want more in life than for your children to be happy and safe. There's nothing more than you want in life to know that I can handle retirement and do the things that I want to do. Things probably change. And as you go through life, you may look back over life and determine that some of those things that you wanted more than anything else weren't all that important. They were at the time. But now you know they weren't. What do you want more than anything? This psalm reminds you and me that we want nothing more than the Word. There isn't anything greater. There isn't anything better. We want nothing more than the Word. We want to hear it. We want to live it. Psalm 19 is a psalm that allows God to reveal Himself to us. As King David writes these words, in the first part of the psalm, we were reminded of how God showed Himself in His creation. Now God reveals His glory in this amazing word that He gives to you and to me. Much like Psalm 119, that classic extended discussion of what God's word is and how amazing that word is, Psalm 19 uses some of the same titles, words, descriptions to describe for us what this word is. And so we're going to put these up on the screen, and as we go through, we're going to notice that there's six different words that he uses to describe God's Word. We're talking about the one inerrant, inspired Word, but we'll look at it from different points of view. And as he gives us each of those words, there's an attribute, there's a characteristic that describes it, and then a blessing that comes. So as he gets in and begins to describe this word that we want to hear, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, it revives the soul." You might even be familiar with the Hebrew word for law, Torah. Really, it stresses the idea of teaching, instructing. It's not limited to just law like what we heard in the first lesson, the demands that God makes of us, but includes all the things that He wants you to know, all the instruction that He wants to give. And as He gives that teaching, it's perfect. It's exactly what you need to know. There isn't any errors in this teaching. This is the teaching that takes hearts that are dead and confused and revives that soul as God comes and tells you exactly what He wants you to know. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. It gives wisdom to the inexperienced. You think about testimony and think about the idea of the Word as a witness. A witness gives testimony. A witness tells what he knows and what she has seen. God comes to you in His precious Word, and He gives you this testimony. He serves as a witness of what He wants you to know, what He wants you to see of Himself and of yourself. No perjury going on here. This testimony is trustworthy. It's exactly what needs to be relayed, exactly what needs to be shared. And with that Word acting as the witness, then there is that wisdom that does come. Wisdom as you and I grow in our understanding. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. Think of a supervisor. This word carries that idea of someone who oversees the work, supervises what is going on. If you have a supervisor at work, they're the ones that are kind of in charge of making sure, even though it's your job, but making sure everything gets done just the way it's supposed to be. The Word is your supervisor in life. It guides you in the right way. Shows you how things are to be done. What is it that gives God the glory? How do we give Him the praise and the honor and the thanks? As you and I rejoice in those precepts, that's true joy. True joy to know that the best supervisor we have is none other than our Lord and our God. The joy that comes from hearing this amazing Word. The fourth word that he uses, the commandment of the Lord is bright. It gives light to the eyes. Authority. The Word has authority. God has every right to say what He has to say, and with that authority in place is that light, that bright light that allows you and me to see God for who He is, rejoice in God for who He is. This is not something that bears down on us, not just threats, but the authority that lifts us, brightens us, allows us to see our Lord and our God. Here's an interesting one. The fear of the Lord is pure. It stands forever. Fear is usually a name that's reserved more for God, not necessarily for His Word. But as we've gone through each of these, especially the attributes or the characteristics, you've also noticed that every one of them is a characteristic of God. Makes sense. It's His Word. It would make sense that the things He wants you to know and the things that He tells you about would reflect who He is. We want to hear the Word, and so as we listen to the Word, we are filled with that awe for our Lord and for our God, that amazing respect that reminds us of who He is and what He does. And as you and I stand in awe of that Lord and that God, we rejoice in that pure Word. The Word that is going to be there forever. The Word that's not going to get changed. It's not going to be revised. It's not going to have to go through some editing. But it will stand forever. We want nothing more than the Word. We've got one more of those words that describe it. And already you and I get to rejoice in the fact that this is what we want to hear. The decrees of the Lord are truth. They are altogether righteous. When you see the word decrees, perhaps think of an ordinance. Ordinances are things that kind of guide what you're supposed to do. If you're building a house in a certain community or certain area, maybe there's some ordinances, some zoning issues that you have to do. There needs to be so many breaks in the roof line. There has to be so much percentage of brick in the front of the house. Whatever the ordinance might end up being, those are the things that you follow and use as you continue. Our Lord and our God gives us His ordinances, gives us His decrees. Truth, not just whim, not just whatever He happens to feel like at the moment, but that amazing truth of who He is and what He's all about, all of them perfectly and totally righteous. We want nothing more than the Word. No wonder we want to listen to it. When you and I see the Word from all of these different angles and see what it means for you and for me, we want to listen. They are more desirable than gold, even better than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the honeycomb. We want nothing more than the Word. Nothing better, nothing more valuable. Nothing tastes better. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is nothing we desire more. Or is there? As you and I see this Word, and as we think about what David has to say under inspiration here, have there been times when what is more valuable than gold and what is sweeter than honey becomes a dusty old relic? We got to the point, perhaps at times, where we were working our way through the Word and it was just too hard. It was a part that I couldn't grasp. It was a part I couldn't figure out. It was a part I couldn't understand. And because it's too hard and my brain can't handle it, I therefore said, it can't be right. Rather than listen to what God says, I want to go along with what I think. And I think God couldn't mean that. I think God must have made a mistake. I think that must not apply anymore. I think that my reason and my rational understanding should stand in judgment on the Word. And so therefore, I don't need it anymore. Now what I'm desiring more than anything else is my own intellect and understanding. Has the Word become too familiar? I know all that stuff. Been there, done that. We keep talking about sin and grace. We get it. We know it. Let's move on to the important stuff. Let's move on to things that matter for this life. It becomes way too familiar, and I just assume I've got it figured out, so I set it aside, and I go think about something else. Is it too heavenly? Maybe that seems weird, but have we gotten so wrapped up in what I got going on in my life and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what I want to do and what I want to accomplish and everything that seems to be going on here in this Word is just kind of theory and out there and not applicable. Doesn't help me with day-to-day life. And so I desire something else. No matter where you are in life, there are times when we start thinking about what is it that I want more than anything else, and how often, even though I know we want nothing more than the Word, things keep getting in the way. So we marvel in the Lenten season of how our Lord and our Savior won that battle too. As you think about the third commandment that we heard in that first lesson, and you think about how Jesus in His zeal for His house wanted to make sure that when you'd come into the temple, you were not distracted by all the business that was going on, but rather had an opportunity to hear the Word. We marvel that for you and for me, who at times found other things more desirable than the Word, our Lord and our God didn't. Jesus wanted nothing more than the Word. He wanted nothing more. And if there was anybody who had a right to say, this is kind of old and boring and I already know this, it would be Jesus. It's His Word. He's the one who gave it to the prophets. He's the one who gave it to the apostles. And yet think of the times that He went into that synagogue, as was His custom. Think of the times that He went off on His own to pray, to spend that one-on-one time with His Father, to gather with His fellow believers, to rejoice that even in this area, our Lord and our Savior is your perfect substitute. He perfectly put the Word first in our place. We want nothing more than the Word. His perfection now replaces all the times that we found ourselves desiring something else. Now we want to hear it. We rejoice in what it tells us about this perfect Savior and substitute. We want nothing more than the Word. We want to hear it. We love to hear it. We can't wait to hear it. But as the psalm goes on, you and I are reminded that we're not just simply talking about some kind of academic exercise. We want to hear it not just so that we can have a little better intellectual understanding of what's going on. This is life. We want to live it. Yes, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can recognize his own errors? Declare me innocent of hidden sins. Restrain your servant also from deliberate sins. As you and I think about living this Word, we're reminded that the Word is there to warn us. It's there to reward us. And because of that, we sing our praises. We need those warnings, do we not? You think again about King David, and you can see him probably going back into his own life as he talks about the fact that we need this Word to warn us. We need to spend our time in that Word, because who can recognize his own errors? Maybe you're thinking about what the Apostle Paul said. Had God not come and said, "Do not covet," I probably wouldn't even have known what that was. How many times when we go through life and we don't even know that what we just said was wrong, that what we just thought was wrong, that what we just did was wrong. Some of those things we've pushed off in our memories, we don't remember them anymore. We don't even understand without the Word that I am by nature sinful. It's not just that I make mistakes periodically. I'm an enemy of God, hostile to Him, uninterested in doing things His way. That's what I am. I never would have known that. That error would not have been known had I not received the warning of the Word. Think about the hidden faults. Think about those hidden faults that I'm just doing because it seems popular, it seems normal, it seems comforting, it seems like everybody else is doing it. But then think about those deliberate ones. No more or less damning than the other ones, but the difference with those deliberate sins is now I am placing my salvation in jeopardy. Now I am standing in front of God saying, "No, that's not how it's going to be." The deliberate sins are when I stand up and I shake my fist at God and say, "You're wrong, I'm right. And your world no longer applies. And your Word is no longer applicable. I'm going to do things my way." And we hand our faith into Satan's hands. We set the Word aside and start running away from heaven and straight for hell. We need the warning. We want the Word more than anything, because as we hear it, we want to live it. In keeping them, there is great reward. The reward does not come to me because of what I do. I'm not rewarded because I'm such a great guy. I'm not rewarded because I did better most of the time. I am not rewarded because of what I have accomplished. I am rewarded because of what Christ has done for me. We want nothing more than the Word, because it takes us to Jesus, and it points to Jesus, and it reminds you and me that because of Jesus, I am now blameless. I am innocent of great rebellion. Blameless. The perfection of your Lord and your Savior has been wrapped around you. At your baptism, you were clothed in the righteousness of Christ, baptized into His death. You've already paid for sin. Baptized into His life, you are already living for Him. Rewarded because of Christ's perfect life and innocent death. And now we are blameless, whole, complete. Nothing to separate us from God and His will and His ways. We are now innocent of great rebellion. God doesn't see the times I shook my fist at Him and told Him He was wrong. I'm instead declared innocent. No wonder We want nothing more than the Word. We want to live it. We want to live in thanks and praise because that's what we look like. Wrapped in Christ, standing in His love, living in His grace. And so we praise. May the speech from my mouth and the meditation and thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. We want to live it. We want nothing more than the Word, to immerse ourselves into this Word, to be in this Word, to hear this Word, to live this Word, so that everything that comes out of this mouth reflects what God's Word is all about. It gives Him the glory. So everything bouncing around in this heart that maybe nobody else sees but God does is pleasing to Him. It gives Him the thanks and gives Him the glory. May the speech of this mouth and the thoughts of this heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, because of you. You are the rock. You are the one who holds me up. You are the one who acts as my foundation. You are the one that gives me strength. You are my Redeemer, the one who paid for me, the one who set me free, the one who says I can be with Him forever in the glories of heaven. So what do you want more than anything else in all the world? We want nothing more than the Word. No matter how old you are, no matter where you are in life, you rejoice that you have a Savior. You rejoice in a Word that you get to hear. You rejoice in an opportunity, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are in life, to live that Word in praise and in thanks to our Lord and to our God. We come here because we want nothing more than the Word. Amen.